إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، وبعد. Indeed, أيها الإخوة, from the affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded His Messenger with, from the affairs, أيها الإخوة, that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, is that which is related to fitan. Fitan, أيها الإخوة, trials, tribulations, afflictions. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned them in His Kitab and has warned against them, just as His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention of them. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, in relation to fitna, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُسِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاسًا. And fear the fitna that does not afflict the one from among you that perpetrates that evil alone. That is, fear the fitna that when an individual enters into it, it does not only affect him. The ramifications of it affect either the whole of the community or the whole of the ummah possibly. Fitan. And indeed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to seek refuge from fitan. And he used to say, أعوذ بالله من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. That indeed I seek refuge from fitan, that which is apparent from it and that which is hidden. Likewise, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he informed us of trials and tribulations and described them concerning those trials that would come in the future as trials and tribulations. يُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا. Trials and tribulations that would make one seem weak or soft. The scholars have mentioned concerning this hadith, يُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا, meaning that it will make, yani the fitna that precedes another fitna, or that comes after a fitna, it will make the fitna that preceded seem like nothing, seem irrelevant. Fitan, أيها الإخوة. And thus the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the reality of the trials and the tribulations that would come, and because of the fact that it occurred even among the prophets and the messengers of the past, that they would seek refuge from fitna, and they would make dua, O Allah, la, as occurs in the dua of Ibrahim and Musa, la taj'alna fitnatan lilladhina zalamu waghfir lana. Do not make us a fitna for those who have disbelieved, and forgive us. Thus the trials and the tribulations then that will occur within this ummah have been foretold. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed of trials and tribulations that would occur even among the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, and each and every one of them striving to come to that which was correct, and striving to come to that which was the truth and the haqq. But in the meanwhile, and within the in the midst of them, ashabul fitna, the people of fitna, the people of innovation from the Khawarij and others, causing fitna and increasing the fitna among them. Thus, brothers and sisters, the affair of fitna is something that is going to occur. But what is most important is that a person knows how to act and deal with fitan. And our scholars mention, as it relates to dealing with fitan, whether it be those fitan that are amma, yani those fitan that afflict the whole of the ummah, or those fitan that are khasa, yani those specific fitan that are specific to a person's situation, or possibly a small community or area. Then, brothers and sisters, our scholars have laid down some qawaid and some dawabit and some principles. From those principles, the first of them they mention is ar-rifq. That is, that one has clemency. One is easy during fitan. He has clemency and has forbearance, and is not from those who are hasty. Since al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan, haste, ikhwan, is from shaytan. Particularly during the fitan and the trials, the main thing that one must be upon, and the initial thing that we should advise each other with, is ar-rifq. Don't be hasty to enter into the fitna and the trial with your tongue. Don't be hasty to comment and be the first to make a statement, la, ya Abdullah, alayka bir-rifq. Take it easy, be easy, have clemency, be patient, and do not be from those who are hasty. Since haste, ayyuhal ikhwah, is from the things that cause an individual to regret in the future, when he enters hastily into speaking, hastily into commenting, or hastily, even worse, into making a move within that fitan and within those trials, then brothers and sisters, oftentimes those trials or that haste leads to regret during the period of trial. And so indeed, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would advise, alaykum bit tu'ada, have clemency, be gentle, be easy, wait, be patient, observe the affair, analyze the situation, and advise the brothers and the sisters within our midst and our community with the same. Let us not be hasty. That is the first of the things that they mention. Similarly, they mention, brothers and sisters, from the manners and methods of dealing with fitna, is secondly, they mention a qa'ida and a principle from the principles of the sharia. Al-hukmu ala shay'in faru'un an tasawwurihi. That is, that they say, to pass a verdict upon something, it is first imperative that one must envision the affair in completion. That is, that we do not pass a statement or a verdict or seek a verdict until the situation is fully encompassed, it is fully understood. That is connected to the first principle of not being hasty, that we do not rush into a situation. Rather, we wait. We are patient, we analyze, and secondly, we encompass that which is present within the issue. And we ensure that we've fully understood it before we open our mouths and speak. Because indeed, brothers and sisters, the tongue is one of the greatest causes of leading a person to that which, la tuhmad uqbah, to that which is not, or its outcome and its ramifications are not praiseworthy. إِنَّ اللِّسَانَ صَغِيرٌ جِرْمُهُ وَلَهُ جُرْمٌ كَبِيرٌ كَمَا قَدْ قِيلَ فِي الْمَثَلِ فَكَمْ نَدِمْتُ عَلَى مَا كُنْتُ قُلْتُ بِهِ وَمَا نَدِمْتُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ أَكُنْ أَقُلِ. Indeed, the tongue, it is small in size, as that poet mentioned, وَلَهُ جِرْمٌ كَبِيرٌ, but its crimes are enormous. كَمَا قَدْ قِيلَ فِي الْمَثَلِ, as it was mentioned in that parable of old. فَكَمْ نَدِمْتُ عَلَى مَا كُنْتُ قُلْتُ بِهِ وَمَا نَدِمْتُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ أَكُنْ أَقُلِ. How much have I regret that which I have said, but never did I regret that which I refrained from saying. Thus, brothers and sisters, beware and cautious of the tongue. And so these first two principles have a connection, ayyuhal ikhwa, one to another. The first, al-rifq, al-tu'ada, al-hilm, being patient, being easy, having clemency. And secondly, that which is related to a correct analysis of the situation before speaking or seeking a verdict. If it is a situation that we have to speak concerning, then it is imperative that we understand it. Or if it is a situation that we must seek a fatwa on, that is, we must seek a verdict from the people of knowledge and ilm and understanding, then they likewise, in order to pass a verdict, must have a correct analysis and a correct understanding of that situation in order to pass that verdict, and that would come from us. Thus, if it comes from us, it is important that it has come in the most complete and perfect and correct form. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we observe these principles. Likewise, the scholars, they mention from the affairs related to fitan is that we return back to Ahlul Ilmi wal Fadl in order to seek clarification concerning that. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned and advised us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of the reminder if you do not know. That is, ask the people of knowledge and understanding and wisdom, and don't hasten ourselves into passing a verdict concerning a situation that is difficult or requires ilm in order to understand or pass a correct verdict concerning. So that which we return back to, or those who we return back to, are those whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has advised us within the Quran, Ahlul Ilm, Fas'alu Ahlul Ilmi in kuntum la ta'lamun, the people of knowledge and understanding. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions as it relates to the times of fitan, those scholars who we return back to, since there are numerous people of knowledge and scholars and mashayikh, but those scholars who we return back to during the times of fitan are of a particular type. And he mentioned that the scholars, as it relates to knowing good and evil, knowing that which is khair and that which is shar, they are of two, are a number of types. From them are those who know the good in detail, but know the evil generally. And the second, those who know the good in detail and the evil in detail. When it comes to passing a verdict in fitna and in trials and tribulations, it is the second category that we return back to, showing respect to the first, but understanding that a situation like this one requires that knowledge that has a different level of understanding of situations such as these. Those who know that the good and the deen in detail, and those who know the trials and the fitan and the shar and evil similarly in detail. And in that way, brothers and sisters, we get an experienced verdict. We get a knowledgeable outcome. And not one that is merely based in the Kitab and the Sunnah, and of course that is the origin, but one that is based in the Kitab and in the Sunnah and in experience and knowledge and wisdom. Not, brothers and sisters, those are from the things that our scholars have advised during fitan, since the trials and the tribulations, they will come. And we have seen, brothers and sisters, them increasing in our time. Thus it is imperative that the mu'min and that the believer, he has some understanding of how to approach them, how to understand them, and what should be done during them. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Wal-Aqibatu Lil-Muttaqeen. Wala Udwana Illa Ala Al-Zalimeen. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الصادق الأمين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Dear إخوان, the affair of fitan, those trials and tribulations, There are numerous pieces of advice that our scholars have mentioned. And there are numerous affairs that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us with. Know, brothers and sisters, that it is from the nature of iman that the mu'min and the believer, he will be tried. He will be tested. And as we mentioned, those trials and tests are either trials that are amma, trials that are general, afflicting the whole of the ummah, or they are specific trials, specific afflictions. As far as the specific afflictions are concerned, then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us, as occurs in the hadith of Abi Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُ مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُ. Those, or the one who Allah Azza wa Jal wants good for, He places upon him trials. He places upon him masa'ib, afflictions. That then is from the nature of iman. And so the mu'min, the believer, he does not become despondent. Neither does he become disillusioned and begins to speak ill concerning his Lord, or make statements such as, why me? What have I done to deserve this, and so on. Rather, he understands that trials and tribulations are from the nature of iman. And those trials and tribulations, in fact, are things that we should welcome and we should celebrate the presence of them, since they have in them an indication of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal loves or wishes good for the believer. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُ. Whomsoever Allah wants good for, then He places trials and tribulations upon him. Similarly, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ لِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ خَيْرًا. If Allah Azza wa Jal wants good for a household, He guides them to Islam. Then he mentioned, then trials remain over their household like a cloud. Trials and tribulation remain over the household like a cloud. Not, brothers and sisters, though on the face of it, it is something that we repel and wish not to receive. But it is good for us in the dunya and the hereafter. Since the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that in the hereafter, a man will have a station and an individual will have a station that he did not acquire by way of his righteous actions and his righteous deeds. But it is a station that he has that will amaze him and will confuse him. And then he will be informed of the fact that station, he received it on the basis of trials and afflictions that came to him in the dunya. And so that which we see, brothers and sisters, from trials and afflictions, from the greatest of the manners and the greatest of the affairs that will rectify for us our dunya, whether it be on a societal level, whether it be on a national or international level, or on a personal level, is to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the main way, ikhwan, that we remedy and we deal with these trials. These trials, brothers and sisters, have come to us from Allah. Therefore, brothers and sisters, it is not something that we will remove with our own hands. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرَعِ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ظُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ عَنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. He said that if you trade with عِينَ, if you trade with عِينَ, which is a form of usury, a form of interest, وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ, and you hold on to the tail of the cow, وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرَعِ, and you're pleased with agriculture, meaning the only thing that concerns you is dunya, 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 and an increase in amounting more dunya. وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ, and you leave alone jihad, And this, brothers and sisters, is jihad in every sense of the word. Not as the various groups of takfir and jihad, they claim that this is the messenger commanding us to fight and to enter into the battlefield. Every form of jihad, brothers and sisters, the first of them and the most important of them, that jihad that is constant with the believer, the jihad of nafs, that was discussed by Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim. And Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that the one who has not been successful with the jihad of nafs, he will not be successful with any other form of jihad. Striving against oneself, taming oneself and his desires, curbing his ways and those adat and those mannerisms that oppose the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest form of jihad, ikhwan. That then, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, sallatallahu alaykum dhullan. Allah azza wa jalla will place upon you humiliation. And there are numerous texts that indicate that this humiliation that we receive and that we see is a humiliation that has come to us from our own hands. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Quran, as it relates to the rulers that are over us, since we hear people constantly saying, the problem that we have in the ummah are these rulers. If we exchange the rulers, then our affair would be rectified. What is it that Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Quran? Allah mentioned, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah mentions, thus do we make some dhalimeen, thus do we make some oppressors in charge of others. In charge of others. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Because of what their own hands have earned. We place oppressors over oppressors. So remember, when you point the finger at the oppressive ruler, there are three fingers pointing back. How are you, Yaqi? As it relates to that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded you with. How are you? As it relates to dealing with your family, dealing with your children. How are you? As it relates to fulfilling the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon you. How are you? As it relates to the salawat and the prayer and that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made wajib from the siyam and other than that and paying the zakat. How are you, Yaqi? Are you from among those who fulfill everything that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded you will with? Or is it that you're likewise from the zalimun? And so, brothers and sisters, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرَعِ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ظُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ عَنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. That is, you can fulfill, carry out those things. Trade with ina, usury. How many of us, ikhwan, have houses on mortgage, cars on higher purchase? If you trade with usury, hold on to the tail of the cow, that you're pleased with agriculture, yani dunya, you leave alone this jihad, sallatallahu alaykum dhullan. Allah will place humiliation upon you. That is not my statement, ikhwan, the statement of the Messenger of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal will place humiliation upon you. Not the Yahud, not the Nasara, the Christians, not the Zionist plot, not Illuminati, Allah. Allah will place humiliation upon you and He will not remove it from you until you return to what, ikhwan? To jihad, until you return to your deen. Therefore, those who attempt to use that to call the ummah to jihad and claim that this is the great last wajib, brothers and sisters, there is an affair that precedes any type of fighting. That is returning to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with doing so, much of the trials and the tribulations that are upon this ummah, ikhwan, they will dissipate. They will disappear. That no doubt is the promise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى وفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين أقيموا صلاتكم يرحمكم